Today's daf is daf chet. We're going to start at the Mishnah, but before we start, I have to correct something that I said yesterday that I accidentally, in going through the daf, I forgot and I said it the wrong way. So we saw three cases of Nechum Hamadi, and one of them was about Mechurim Sus Zachar V'Zakem B'Milchama. And I related it to selling, relating to the holidays, and it was a mistake. I forgot when I was teaching, but it actually refers to a different Isur. There's an Isur to sell things, animals, to non-Jews, because there's a concern. We're not allowed to rent items to non-Jews for a particular reason, which is that we're worried they're going to use it on Shabbat, and our animals, there's a chiyuv of shvitat behema on Shabbat, and our animals are supposed to rest on Shabbat. And therefore, we also can't sell them items, because if we sell them animals, we might come to rent them animals. So the issue was, but it's only items that we're going to worry that you're going to end up selling. So therefore, they say that you can that you might end up renting. So they say that you it includes sales of horses, but they're saying that you can't sell, that you're allowed to sell an animal, that you're not going to end up using, that you could sell it to him in a time of war when you're not worried they're going to use it in war, because he's an old horse and therefore he can't be used for war, so they're not going to end up working the horse. Okay, and therefore he can have it because he's not going to end up working it. In general, a sale of a horse is okay because the horse is used for riding, not as much for working, but in a wartime they're going to use it for working also. And therefore, he says, if it's for the war, but it's an animal they can't, if it's during the time of war, but it's an animal they can't use, then you could do it. Some people say, well, why say zachar also in nekeva? The assumption was they were only talking about zachar because nekevot would never be used in a war anyway. But it means if it was Zachar and Zaken, then you couldn't use it. Then you have to obviously explain remember there were two Nuscha'ot, the Zachar or the Zaken. Okay, anyway, we're going to move on to the next Mishnah now. Eloi Dehan Shel Goyim, Kalanda V'Saturnura V'Kartesim. These were holidays. Kalanda is connected to the word calendar. It took place on the 1st of January, 8 days after the solstice, as we saw before. Saturnura was taken place before the solstice, before December 22nd, and Kartesim, which was a holiday celebrating the ascent of the emperor to the throne. Okay, Yom Genusia Shel Malchehem, okay, which was also, right, Kartesim actually, right, Yom Genusia Shel Malchehem could be the day that they appointed a king, to be the king. Yom HaLeida, the day of the king's birth, meaning the birthday, Yom HaMita, the anniversary of the death of the king, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Chachamim omrim, kol mita sheyesh basrefa, yesh ba'avodah zarah, v'she'ein basrefa, ein ba'avodah zarah. So only in death ceremonies that involve burning would there be avodah zarah, according to Chachamim. And what kind of burning? This could be a burning of incense, it could be cremating that they're relating to, or it could be they would burn clothes and items of the deceased. That was a minhag that we've seen in a bunch of different places. But the day that somebody shaves or takes off his sideburns, the yom sha'alabo minayam, the day he's saved from the sea, or some people say actually it's not necessarily that he went out, right? Either it's when he gets back from a journey from the sea, right? This sounds a little bit, this one and the next one, like the reasons why we bring a Korban Todah, Thanksgiving offering, or also if you get out of, you came back from a trip from the sea, or Yom Shiatza Vibet HaSurin, you get out of jail. B'goy Shasta Mishteh L'Beno, if a goy is doing a party for his son, for his wedding, Eino Asur Ela Oto Ayom V'Oto Ish Bilvad. So those things are only, then you can only not do business on that day of those events and with that person, and not, you're permitted to be with anybody else. Okay, Gemara starts. Amar Rav Hanan bar Rava. Kalanda Shmoni Yamim Achar Tkufa, we saw this the other day, it's 8 days after the tkufa, after the winter solstice, Saturnura, Shmonayamim Lifnei Tkufa, Vesimanach, Achor Vakedem Tzartani. Right, the siman is that you've kind of blocked me in, Achor Vakedem, from behind and from in front. So we go behind first and then in front after, meaning, or I should say, Achora is, in this case, not behind, but forward 8 days first. Now they're talking about Kalandes first, and Kedem is the one before, Mi Kadum, before. Tanu Rabbanan. Lefi Shara'a Adam HaRishon Yom Shemitma'et V'alech. There's a very interesting story about Adam HaRishon, which actually some of the sources connect this to Hanukkah, and why Hanukkah is a holiday in the winter, besides the miracle that happened, and both the victory and the miracle of the shemen, of the oil. But also there's another reason given, which relates to the fact that it also coincides with a bunch of other holidays that are in different religions. And this is because Adam HaRishon saw Yom Shemitma'et V'Holech, that the days were getting shorter and shorter. Amar Oili, Shema B'Shvil Shesarachti Olam Chashuch Ba'adi V'Chozer L'Tov V'Vo. Right, the first year of the world, all of a sudden, Adam HaRishon sees the days are getting shorter and shorter, and the winter is coming, and oh my God, the shortest day of the year is here. It's so, right, he thinks that the world is closing in on him. And it's because of B'Shvil Shesarachti. He figures, because of my sin, the world must be getting destroyed. V'zohi mitash niknesa alai min ha-shamayim. Right, and he assumes this is the death that he was penalized by for what he did. Amavi yashav shmonei yamim b'ta'anitu b'tfilah. So he had 8 days of fasting and praying. Kevan shara'at tkufat tevet v'ra'a yom shema'arich v'holech. Then all of a sudden, tkufat tevet came in and it started getting, meaning the solstice happened and the days started getting longer. Amar minago shel olam hu. He realized, oh, this is just the way of the world. Halach v'asa shmona yamim tovim. L'shana, right, so he made 8 days of holiday celebration. L'shana acheret asan le'elu le'elu yamim tovim. Hu kva'am l'shem shamayim v'hem kva'um l'shem avodah zarah. So now it says, this is why, so the days leading up to the solstice are keneged, the 8 days of his fast days that he instituted, and the 8 days after relate to the holiday that he did when he realized the days were getting longer. He did this, L'shem Shamayim, and then they, based on his holiday, they caused it, you know, they did it, L'shem Avodah Zarah. Okay? So like I said, this clearly, this source relates it to Adam HaRishon and how what the Avodah Zarah did with it. But some people claim that also the Jews' holiday was based on this minhag of Adam HaRishon. Okay, obviously not based on the non-Jewish holiday, but based on this minhag HaKadum of Adam HaRishon that they related it to him. Again, whether he really did this or not is a whole separate story, but there was a Masorah that he did this. Bishlam, or it's just reflective of a concept of a winter holiday, and that's why Hanukkah is a holiday of lights, and you know, it's the idea of having a holiday in the wintertime. There's some concept of why, you know, there would be a need to do that, to kind of, you know, wake people up out of their winter depression. It's obviously not the reason for Hanukkah, but it could be an added reason as to why the holiday was celebrated. It could explain maybe why 8 days, where, you know, 8 days could be for the Pach HaShemen, but you can also have an additional reason of the 8 days relating to these 8 days. This makes sense if you say that the world was created in Tishrei. There's a big, basic machloket. Was the world created in Tishrei or Nisan? If you say it was created in Tishrei, so then we understand. Yom Ezut Achaza, Yom Aricha Akate Lochaza. Adam HaRishon never saw that the days were getting longer, right? He only saw that the days were getting shorter, and that caused him to think that the world was being destroyed. Ela lamandamar b'Nisan nivra olam, hachaza le'yom ezute v'yom arichei. If the world was created in Nisan, then he already saw that the days get longer and then they get shorter. So he would have realized that it's not that God is destroying the world. So what do they say? No, da havezute kule hai lo chaze. He never saw that it was this short. In other words, from Nisan to the winter, right? This obviously gets much shorter. So when it got this short, he got really concerned. Tanu Rabbanan. Here's a different version of that story. That it didn't happen in the winter, but that this happened in the day of creation. Yom shenivra bo Adam HaRishon, which he also had sinned, right? The assumption is Adam HaRishon already sinned on the first day. Kevan sheshaka alav chama, when the sun started setting on that first day, same concept, right? The day starts to get dark. אמר אוילי בשביל ששרחתי עולם חשוך בעדי ויחזור לעולם טוב לטוב אבו. Because of my sin, now the world is closing in on me and it's going to go back to the way it was. וזוהי מיטה שנכנסה לה מן השמיים. היה יושב בתענית ובוכה כל הלילה. He cried that entire night and he fasted and cried. וחווה בוכה כנגדו and she cried next to him. כיוון שעלה מול השחר אמר מנהגו של העולם הוא. Once he saw that the sun rose, he said, ah, this is just the way of the world. עמד ויקריב שור שקרנב קודמים לפרסותיו. And he took a shore that was a unique type of shore whose horns were created before its hoofs. Okay, which normally the hoofs would happen and then the horn would grow on a regular animal. But he found an animal that was created already in a mature form where already its horns were there. Shne'amar v'titav la'ashem mishor par makrin mafris. So what do you see in this pasuk? The makrin, which is really, they understand, mekeren, from a keren, right? I was better... But this means that it will please Hashem better than a shore par, that's makrin mafris, meaning that has a keren that came before its parsotav, before its hoofs. Okay, so that's what it's saying. That's like a great type of korban, the shore par makrin mafris. This is a pasuk from Tehilim. V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, we're going to have a different explanation of this shore par makrin mafris. Which both of them related to Adam HaRishon, even though the context isn't talking about Adam HaRishon. Shur shekriv Adam HaRishon, keren achat hayta lo b'mitzcho, like a unicorn, shenemar v'titav la'ashem mishor par, makrin mafris, makrin, so they say, here you see it, makrin, which means from a keren. So they say, what do you mean? Makrin tarte mashma, it sounds like a plural form. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, mikeren k'tiv. The way it's written is mikeren, which means from one keren, one horn. Rav Matna, I'm Rav Matna. Romi shasta kalanda v'chol arayot asmuchot la mishtabdot la. Otan arayot asurot o mutarot. So Rav Matna asks this question. Romi does Rome established this holiday of kalanda, and all the neighboring cities are subjugated to Rome. Now, even though they don't keep the holiday, are those places, is it also forbidden to do malacha, to do business with them? Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi amar, kalanda asura lakol hi. Okay, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says it's usher to everybody, even people under the Roman rule, since they institute the holiday, even if people don't celebrate it, can't do business with them. Rabbi Yochanan amar, ein asura ele lov dead lofat. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's just the people keeping the holiday. Okay, he wanted to narrow the focus of this, narrow the breadth of this, the fact that it's forbidden to do work with non-Jews. Tanya Kavateh to Rabbi Yochanan. Here's a source that supports, a brayta that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, that it's only to the people who keep the holiday. Afal pi shamru Romi as takalanda v'chol arayot asmuchol amishtabdot la hi atzmai nasura ele lovdeh bilvad. Okay, so even though Rome did it and all the neighboring towns are subjugated to Rome, that day is only this prohibition is only for the people who keep the holiday. Satalnalia ukritisim. Okay, this is the continuation of the Braita. Okay, we already brought the Braita for what we wanted to prove Rabbi Yochanan, but now we bring the continuation. V'yom ginusya shamachehem v'yom shumlach b'melech lefanav asur charav mutar. Okay, on all these days, it's before it's forbidden, but after it's mutar, just like we saw the machloket and the Mishnah. And this was just like our Mishnah, that a goy does a wedding party for his son. That day is forbidden, and also only with him it's forbidden. Not with anybody else. Amar Rav Ashi, af ana nami tanina. Rav Ashi says, we also have another source that supports Rabbi Yochanan's statement. De katana yom tiglachatz kano blurito, v'yom shalabu menayam, v'yom shiatzama v'bed hasurim. He quotes our Mishnah. Ein asor elo oto yom bava oto ish. What do you learn from here? Bishlama oto ayom. Why does it say oto ayom? Lafuke lefanav alacharav. They want to say not before, not after. Elo oto ish lafuke mai. Why would it have to tell you oto ish? If it was obvious it was only the person celebrating the holiday, right? Meaning only the people who were Romans who were celebrating the Roman holiday, or in this case, only the person who's celebrating his son's wedding. So then if it was only Meshuabad, if it was only the people celebrating, it would be obvious. You wouldn't need to say oto ish. Lav lafuke meshua badav. Isn't it to say anyone who's ruled by that person? Shma mina. Okay, in other words, it's trying to teach you that if we can learn from Oto Ish, then it means just him and not anyone else subjugated by him. Okay, anyone else who might be celebrating the wedding on account of him, or isn't celebrating the wedding but is ruled by him. So therefore, it would be the same with the Romans. This isn't the most perfect proof, but you could explain it that way. Tanya. Now we're going to have another brighter. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Yisrael shebachutz laaretz, ovdei avodah zarah b'taharahen. All the people in chutz laaretz, we're talking apropos the wedding of a person. So all the people in chutz laaretz are actually ovdei avodah zarah. I don't know if it means everybody, but many of them are ovdei avodah zarah b'tahara. What does it mean b'tahara? It means b'shogeg. Okay, accidentally. They don't mean to, but they are actually. Ketzad. How so? Goy sha'asa mishtel b'no v'zimein kol ha'yudim shebi'iro. Okay, if a goy has a wedding for his son and invites all the Jews of his city. Interesting to think that that was going on. It's even more so interesting how this plays out. Even though they bring their own food and drink, right? You ever try this at a wedding? Bring your own food, right? You don't trust the hashgacha. So here, the Jews, what would they do? They would bring their own food. Again, Rabbi Yishmael is saying this. I don't know if this actually went on, but he's saying even if they were to bring their own food and bring their own drink, v'shamash shalahen omed lefnehem, and their own shamash was basically serving them, ma'aleh alehem ha'katuv ki'ilu achlu mizivchei metim. It's as if they ate from zivchei meitim, meaning like eating from the idols, right? The zivchei meitim are those who offer zvachim to dead people, which are the idols, or basically they were never alive. And it's as if they're worshipping idols. Why? Because it says, this is when it's talking about Avodah Zarah at the end of after Chedah Egel, it says, v'kara lacha v'achalta mizivcho. So now the Gemara says, Ve'ema adach. Well, maybe it's only if you eat from their zevach. In other words, what he's saying is this pasuk seems to imply that it's as if they're eating from the zvachim. But of course they're not eating from the zvachim, they're eating their own food. So the Gemara says, why are you assuming, right? Why do you say only if he eats from their food? Amarava im kenya makraba achalta mizivcho. It should just simply say in the pasuk, achalta mizivcho. My bekahalacha. Why does it say bekahalacha in that pasuk? To teach you that mish'a kriya. From the time he calls you, you're already considered that you ate from his zevach. Hilkach, kol taltin yomin, bein amar la machmat hilula, bein lo amar la machmat hilula, asur. Now they're going to set up the parameters of if someone invites you to their wedding celebration, and even if you don't eat from their food, but you just come and eat your own food, you're considered as having worshipped Avodah Zarah because you're part of their celebration, and they're going to thank their gods because, you know, on account of your being there. So now they say, so what's the range of time? So they say now, and this is very interesting because the times here are going to match. We saw in Ketubot that there was this correlation between the times of Avelut, the amount of days, there's 7 days of Avelut, there's 30 days of Shloshim, and there's a year of general Avelut. And those correspond to the times of weddings. Now this we see less so in Halacha, although, or less so in everyday, whatever, but it does actually come up in Halacha in a number of things about the year of the marriage, right? That within a year, there's certain things. It even comes up in the Torah about it. You don't have to go to war. And then there's also 30 days, for example, the Zimun. There's a special Zimun for a week of a wedding. And that Zimun would also take place if people are getting together in celebration of the wedding within the first 30 days, assuming you have 10 men, etc. So kol taltin yomin, Bein amar la machmat hilula, bein lo amar la machmat hilula. So within the first 30 days of the wedding, if he invites you, or 30 days before the wedding, he invites you to celebrate with his son's wedding, it's usher for you to go, even if he's not inviting you specifically to celebrate for the son. Just within that whole time frame, we view that as a holiday. Mikam va'elach, hi amar la machmat hilula asur, vi lo amar la machmat hilula shari. Anytime beyond those 30 days, if it's related to the wedding celebration, then it's forbidden, but if it's not, he doesn't tell you that it's related to the wedding celebration and he invites you, then you're allowed to. So then that implies that what? That if it's Machmat Hilula, then it's much more than 30 days. So how much more than 30 days could it be? Amar Papa Atresa Yarche Shata. Okay, until 12 months have passed, meaning within the first year. Here we have the whole year. Then the first year, he can invite you, and then we can assume it's, if he invites you connected to the wedding, and he says, come to this meal to celebrate my son's wedding, then it's forbidden for you because it's Avodah Zarah. Because again, what's the concern with Avodah Zarah? We're concerned that is on account of you coming to his party, he's going to thank his gods. Umeikara me'emat asur. What about before the wedding? That 1 year we're assuming is only after the wedding. What about before the wedding? How early would it be if he invited you for some celebration? It's when they put the barley into the mortars to prepare the beer for the wedding. After 12 months, it's going to be allowed. Mutar. He came to this goy's house after 12 months. And he heard that he thanked his gods. And he basically left immediately and didn't eat anything. The reason this guy was thanking his gods was because he was such an important person that because of that he caused the guy to thank the gods relating to the wedding because this guy was here. But only because he was such an important person, generally that wouldn't be the case. Okay, continuing in the Mishnah, kartesim. So what's this my kartesim? I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Yom Shetafsa Baromi Machut. It's the day the Romans took control of their empire. V'hatanya kartesim v'yom shetafsa bo Romi Machut. But doesn't it say in a braita, kartesim and the day that Romi tafsa bo Machut, meaning those are two different things? Amar Rabbi Yosef, shtei tfisot tafsa Romi. Okay, here they view themselves as historians. They're telling us there were two different times the Romans seized the empire. Echad b'yimei Cleopatra Malkata, the later time, in the time of Cleopatra, the Queen Cleopatra, which was around the year 30. Echad shetafsa b'yimei Yevanim, which was, you know, in the 130s before, 190 before the Common Era. Okay, so that was much earlier with Antiochus. Dechi ata ravdimi amar, taltin utrein krave abdu roma'a bahade yivane, velo yachlule, ad shatfinu l'Yisrael bahadayu. Okay, when Rav Dimi came, from Eretz Yisrael, he explained that the Romans had 32 battles with the Greeks, but they couldn't defeat them until what happened? They joined a partnership with the Jews. V'hachi atnu b'hadayim. When they made a hesken between them, the Romans and the Jews, im minam malche, minaychu hiparche. V'im minaychu malche, minan hiparche. They made this deal, which is either the king's going to be Roman and then the governor's going to be Jewish, or the governor's going to be the governor's going to be Roman and the king's going to be Jewish. B'shalchu le Roma le Yivanai. And then the Romans then sent to the Greeks, Adaina avida bikrava. Until now, we've been fighting with battles, and we haven't actually been winning, right? And as we've been trying, you've been trying to defeat us, we've been trying to defeat you through battles, and no one's succeeding. Hashtanavi bidina. Why don't we have a judgment? And with that, we'll try to resolve our issues. Margalit ve'evin tova, eza mehen yase basis l'chavero. And here's where the Jews are going to come in and be helpful. So they say, if you have a pearl and a precious stone, which one is going to be serve as a base for the other? Okay, which one is more important, really? You know, the base will be the less important, and that one will serve as a base for the more important one. Shachule margalit le'evin tova, right? Obviously, the pearl is going to be, if you have this precious stone, the pearl is going to be the base for the precious stone. Evan tova v'inach ezo mehen yaseh basis l'chavero. What if you have a precious stone and an onyx? Which one will be the basis? So what do the Greeks answer? Evan tova v'inach. The evan tova will be the base for the onyx. Inach v'sefer Torah. If you have an onyx and a sefer Torah, ezo mehen yaseh basis l'chavero. So what about this? Inach l'sefer Torah. They say the sefer Torah, interesting that according to this story, right, the Romans and the Greeks all saw the value of a sefer Torah, and therefore the sefer Torah is obviously more precious than the onyx. Shachule imken anan sefer Torah gaban v'Yisrael bahadan. We have this Torah with us, and the Jews are with us, and therefore, kafulu, you should be subjugated to us. And with that, they succeeded. Esrim v'shichni kamule behem. Okay, so then for 26 years they ruled with the Jews. But then after that they subjugated the Jews. What happened in the beginning that they went with the Jews, and what happened at the end that they didn't go with the Jews? Which psukim were they darshening? These psukim are both between Esav, which is, they always relate to Rome, and Yaakov. So it says, let us go together, v'alchala negdecha, u'levasof darish yavurna adoni lefnei avdo. And in the end, they darish to the pasuk about Yaakov being subjugated to Esau. About the 26 years that they stood with the Jewish people, where how do we know that this is the case? When he was about to die, they said, Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, they said, tell us two or three things that you heard from your father, Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. Amar lehu, 180 shana kodem shenachrav habayit, pashta malchut harasha'al Yisrael. 80 shana ad shelachrav habayit gazru tumah l'eretz hamim v'klei zchuchit. He's giving them a timeline. So for 180 years, I'm stopping in the middle to explain, 180 years before the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, then Romans took over. 80 years before the destruction, the rabbis said that everything was going to be tamei. In other words, Eretz, even though non-Jews aren't metamei, he was metamei, and klei zchuchit were going to be metamei. 40 shana ad shelo charav habayit, 40 years before the Churban, galtas Sanhedrin v'yashvala bechanut. Okay, the Sanhedrin went to Galut and sat in, instead of being in the Lishkat HaGazit, it went to the Chanut, which was near the Harabayit. Lamai Hilchata, what's the relevance of this, of the last statement about the Sanhedrin? Amar Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Lomar Shelo Danu Dinei Knesot. Once the Sanhedrin was no longer there, they couldn't do Dinei Knesot, fines. Dinei Knesot, Zagadatach, really? Can't possibly be. Hamar Yehuda Amar Rav, Biram Zachor To Ish L'Tov. So they say, if it weren't for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, then we wouldn't have had Dinei Knesot. So then they say, Nishtakhu? Would they really have been forgotten? Ligar Sinhu. So they said, let them study them so they won't be forgotten. So therefore, they can't possibly be they were going to be forgotten. In other words, nothing would have been forgotten. They could have learned. And learned about them, even if they didn't actually do them. So what do you mean they were going to be forgotten? Ela batlu dinei knesot b'Yisrael. It means that they were going to stop dinei knesot. Shegazra malchut harasha'a shmar al Yisrael. Kol ha'somech yehareg, v'kol ha'nismach yehareg. V'ir shesomchim batecharev, u'tchum shesomchim bayakir. What happened in his time was that, we saw the story in the past, which was that they said anybody who gives smicha will be killed, and anyone who gets smicha will be killed, and a city next to where they give smicha to rabbis will be destroyed, and any general area, the tchum, shesomchim bo, will be uprooted. So they had no way to basically give smicha to rabbis. If they couldn't give smicha to rabbis, then there wouldn't have been dinei knesot. Okay, that's where we're going with this, which basically shows that this doesn't have to do with the Sanhedrin moving it. It has to do with the Romans forbidding smicha and other things. Ma'asa Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So what did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava do? Halach v'yashav ben shnei arim gedolim u'ben shtei arot gedolot. He went in between these two big mountains, in between two big cities, u'ben shnei tchumei shavan, in between two tchumim, ben usha l'shefaram. Okay, between Usha and Shefaram, where basically he was not near any city, not near any tchum or anything else. B'samach sham chamisha zkenim. And he gave smicha to five rabbis, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamoa. Rav Avi Mosif af Rabbi Nechemya. Rav Avi thinks it was six people. Kevan shikiru behem oivim. What happened while they were out there doing smicha? The enemies found them. Amar lehem b'ni rutsu. Amar banai rutsu. So he said to them, Rav Yehuda ben Bava said, please run away from them. Amrulo Rebbe v'atam matay alecha. What happened? He was old and he couldn't run. So they said, what's going to be with you? Amar lahem haredi mutal lefnehem ke'evan she'en lahofchin. Okay, I'm like a rock that can't be overturned, a stone that can't be overturned. In other words, I'm never going to make it. I'm like a big heavy rock. You can't do anything with me. Amrulo zazu misham ad shenatzu legufo shlosh me'ot luniyot shal barzel basu legufo kikvara. They turned him into a sieve. Basically, they put all these arrows in his body, spears in his body, and he was full of holes from that. He was like a sieve. And what's the basic point from the story? That this was even after the Churban, and they still were doing Dinei Knesot. So therefore, this doesn't teach you that it can't be that what they were saying about the Sanhedrin, the relevance was for Dinei Knesot. So what was it relevant for? Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the whole idea was when there's no Sanhedrin in the Lishkat HaGazit, no one can judge Dinei Nefashot. my taima, what was the reason they did this? Okay, we're going to see both things as to, and afterwards we're going to see how, why dinei mamonot, danim dinei nefashot, lo danim, unless it's the Sanhedrin is in the Lishkat HaGazit, in the Beit HaMikdash. But first we're going to see why they wanted to move the Sanhedrin so they wouldn't, that they wouldn't need to dan dinei nefashot, my taima. They saw that there were tons of murderers and they would have to judge all these people with capital punishment, and they didn't want to do that, so they said better we should move the Sanhedrin from place to place so that we won't have to carry out all these death sentences. And now it's going to say, how do we know that this will work? From here you see that it's the place that causes it. In other words, you can only do this from the Makom Ahu, and the Makom is in the Beit HaMikdash. So once they moved it outside of that area, then they were no longer allowed to dan dinei nefashot.